You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. By stepping into the shoes of our predecessors and looking at the decisions they faced, a lot of times it can give us a whole new perspective on the past as well as the present. This idea is the goal of an upcoming discussion with Dr. David Moss. He is a professor at Harvard's Business School, as well as the author of the acclaimed book, Democracy, a Case Study. Dr. Moss is joining me live on the phone to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Dr. Moss, your public discussion is on this Thursday, February 28th, at the State House in Boise, and you will be taking people back to the year 1787 when the Constitutional Convention met in Philadelphia, and you say this is a time when our country was really in trouble. So why start at that specific period in time?
Well, look, the Constitutional Convention's obviously a formative moment for the country and gave birth to the Constitution. But there's also a relevance beyond that. If you look back at the mid-1780s, it was a period known as the critical period, when the country, the new nation, just achieved its independence, and it seemed to be coming apart. We're going to talk about some of the details on Thursday at the session at the State House about the sorts of problems that the new nation was facing and why. But I think if you take a step back, I think maybe one of the most interesting questions is why the delegates from at least 12 of the 13 states — Rhode Island didn't send delegates to the convention, but 12 of the 13 did — and they really tried to work together to solve problems. They had a lot of disagreements, but they didn't end up just fighting with each other and walking away. But they actually tried to work through and tried to prevent the country from falling apart. And so the question is why? What held them together? And my own sense is they really believed deeply in the nation and this new republic, and it was that belief that kind of held them together. And I guess in my view, you can see this all through American history, but it's when there's this strong belief in the democracy, of trying to safeguard it and strengthen it, that belief is really what holds people together, even when we have deep divisions, ideological, partisan, sectional. So all those divisions we see today, they're not new. They've always been there. Maybe what's different is that our commitment to the democracy, at least according to survey data, is weaker than it's been in the past. So that's one of the things I think we can learn from that moment. And it's also one of the reasons I want to have this discussion in Boise, because so we can, as we talk together as citizens about history, it reminds us of really what we have in common.
And I was just going to say, I mean, why is it important to look at the past in order for us to navigate into the future, especially when we're talking about our democracy?
Yeah, I find cases that we're going to do one of them at the State House on Thursday. We've been teaching them to college students and to high school students across the country, and also to lawmakers in various parts of the country as well. And what we found in all those venues and in public sessions like the one we're going to have on Thursday, when we look back at a historical movement, even people with really very different views, maybe on the right and the left, who really sharply disagree, they look back at a historical moment, and a lot of the sort of partisan polarization, the divisiveness, the rancor, it kind of disappears, and people get into the moment and they try to understand it. And what you find is that even people who normally would just disagree with each other sharply and maybe not even want to talk to each other, they talk, they engage, and they actually walk out. What I've learned from the League of Women Voters, who've done some surveys on our sessions, people are much more inclined to want to talk with people they disagree with after these sessions as opposed to before. So the history helps, I think, bring us together a little bit.
That's fascinating that they look at the moment in history and what was going on. Because one of the things, if we go back again to the 1787 with the Constitutional Convention, was, you said, our founders asked, they had fundamental questions that they were trying to solve. How do we empower the majority while preserving the rights of the minority? How do we have our country come together? These are questions that we are asking ourselves today. But as you just said, we seem to be so polarized that we can't find a common ground.
Yeah. So, look, I think what I've learned from the history, and, I try to sketch this out in the book as best I can, but I think what I've learned from looking at many episodes is it's not actually the division. It's not the polarization itself which is the problem. It seems to be the problem. But really what it is that, do we have enough in common to hold us together? So if you look at some of the most remarkable moments in American history, there were deep divisions, disagreements, every bit as sharp, sometimes even sharper than what we see today. But again, they had this very strong common belief in the democracy itself. And so I think that it appears that the polarization is pulling us apart. What I really think is happening is that we don't have something holding us together as tightly, and so all our differences are getting the better of us. And so instead of just trying to put aside our differences, I don't think that'll ever work. We need to look for what we have in common. And I think that's really been the key to American success in the past.
And you said in the beginning of this interview that polls show that we do not have a belief in the democracy as heavily as we have in the past. Is it a lot less than it used to be, or is it a small difference in how it was historically?
Yeah, so look, we don't have survey data going back across the nation's history,
right,
of course.
Right.
So I can't give you a complete answer, but it turns out if you look at there are surveys about faith in government. They've come down quite a bit. But I don't know if that would be so different from the 19th century. What I think would be quite different, or the 18th century, is there are questions Gallup, for example, asks in a survey every year. How much faith do you have in your fellow Americans to make decisions in the democracy? And those numbers, unfortunately, have come down really quite substantially. You can look at it online. They've, mm-hmm. they've come down quite a bit. And also across generations, if you ask people, how important is it to live in a country that's governed democratically? And you ask on a scale of 1 to 10, and you look at the percentage of people who give that a 10 out of 10, those who were born quite a long time ago in the 1930s or earlier, 75% of them will give it a 10 out of 10. Those born in the 1950s, about 55% give it a 10 out of 10. Those born in the 1970s, about 43% give it a 10 out of 10. Those born in the 1980s or later, about 30%. So what you see is across the generations, there appears to be a pretty significant drop off, and across time, we seem to see much the same thing. So I don't think it can't be remedied. I think it can be remedied, but it's pretty substantial, actually.
So I was just going to ask you then how do we find a common ground when statistically there is such a difference in belief systems?
Look, there are many ways to do that, and I could go over in the book and in a session. I'll talk about some of the mm-hmm. some of the things that can be done. But I think one of the most important ones, we all seem to agree that we need better civics in our schools, and we do. We need not only the students to be talking about civics, but to engage, be excited about it. And these cases are one way to do that. We've seen that students have become much more interested after talking about these cases, much more interested in democracy, much more engaged in civics. It becomes some of their one of their favorite classes, and their interest in voting, their interest in running for office, and their giving it a 10 out of 10 on the importance of living in a country that's governed democratically rises by, like 20 or 30 points. But I think it shouldn't just stop at schools. We need to try to have these discussions, in public libraries, in town halls, in every place we can. And it's not the only way to strengthen our culture of democracy, but it's one way. And so that's why I'm so grateful, that the Speaker of the House in Idaho and also the McClure Center wanted to sponsor this event and bring people together and talk about this history.
And you will be doing this. I mean, this is when I say a discussion, I mean, this really will be a public discussion with everyone that comes to the event. They get to engage, not just sit there and listen to a speech.
Right. So if I were at my toughest, I would call on people even if they didn't raise their hands. But I'm not going to do that.
Okay, good.
I'm only going to raise. So people, I'm going to ask questions. And what I found when I've run these public discussions before, even in large groups, 200, 250 people raise their hand and start talking and debating with each other. And it's never become uncivil. It's always been a good, civil conversation. But I'm expecting we're going to see that as well on Thursday.
I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day today and talking with us. My guest today has been Dr. David Moss. He is a professor at Harvard's Business School. He's been talking about his upcoming lecture, which will be Thursday evening at the Lincoln Auditorium in the State House in downtown Boise. And we should note, this lecture is being hosted by the University of Idaho's McClure Center for Public Policy, as well as the University of Idaho Law School. And I believe tickets are almost sold out, but you can still get online and get those. Dr. Moss, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks.
Do appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having me.